daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered into the temple. He, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look at us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. As the lame man who was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch that is called Solomon's Porch, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered to the people, "You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." I want to share with you this morning on this topic, awakening to the power of Jesus' name. Awakening to the power of Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus, and we thank you for the gift of your word. It is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Jesus said that the word of God is like seed, so we ask you to let our hearts be good soil right now, that we might receive and retain everything you have for us from this time together. Jesus said that his words were spirit and life, so we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit to come and minister that life to us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, we've been on a journey of discovery here at Harvest Time, and it's all been about discovering Jesus. We've spent a good amount of time looking at the Gospels, and to borrow the words of Luke, we've studied everything that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up into heaven. Over the past few weeks, we've begun to look into the book of Acts, or as it's also called many times, the Acts of the Apostles. But maybe a better title for the book would be The Continuing Acts of Jesus Through His Church. Because in Acts, we have the record of the continuation of Jesus' ministry through his church. It's everything that Jesus is still doing and still teaching through his people by the Holy Spirit's power. Acts is about what happens when people release themselves into God's hands so that they can reach others with the life of Jesus. Church, it's critical in our day that we connect with God's desire to see lost people swept into his kingdom. It's imperative that we connect with God's heart and awaken to the lateness of this hour. We're convinced by the great harvest that we can see taking place in the nations of the world that the end of the age is upon us and that Jesus is coming soon. We must awaken to that reality, and we must also shake off our slumber and awaken to God's call to begin working under the leading of the Spirit and work under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because God is still saying to us, it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Pastor Glenn has shared with you in recent weeks how we need to awaken to God's call, how we need to awaken to the fire of God, and how we need to awaken to the apostolic gospel. Today I'm going to share with you about our need to awaken to the power of Jesus' name. And as we look into Acts chapter 3, I'd like to share with you three truths that will help you to step out in faith in the name of Jesus. Three important truths about Jesus' name. And the first one is this. The name of Jesus is a name which is above every name. The name of Jesus is a name which is above every name. When this man was healed in Acts chapter 3, the crowd that came running was wondering, just as you and I might be if we had seen it, how this miracle had been accomplished. What was the mechanism behind the miracle? Where had the power come from? Was it magic? Was it something about Peter and John? Who were they anyway? Were they holy men with strange powers? Peter very quickly dismissed all of that sort of speculation by saying, no, it's nothing about us in particular. But what happened here today is that the name of Jesus Christ has made this man strong. His explanation in verse 13 of our text was that God had glorified his son Jesus. I want everybody to say that word. Say glorified. That was his explanation. God had glorified Jesus. He said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his son Jesus. That's what's happening here. Now that's kind of a strange answer. What does that mean? And what did that have to do with the healing? Well, as it turns out, it had everything to do with that healing. Let's think about Jesus' ministry for a minute and the ministry that he gave to his followers. When we study the Gospels, we see very quickly that Jesus exercised tremendous authority over sin, over sickness, and over Satan. The people were amazed, you know, as you read the Gospels, you recall, to see the authority which Jesus possessed. In Luke 4:36, we read this, he healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, and raised the dead. That's kind of a good header to put on your resume, isn't it? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing everybody who was oppressed by the devil because God was with him. And as he trained his 12 followers, and then as he trained his 70 followers, he sent them out to replicate his works and to ruin the devil's kingdom. Luke chapter 9 says that he gave those men power and authority over all demons and to cure all diseases. The 70 disciples returned from their mission with joy, we read, and they told Jesus, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name. Now, people in ancient cultures, as well as many cultures today, have understood that if I am carrying someone's name, if I bear someone's name, or maybe if I'm carrying someone's seal, then I have a right to act as if I were that person. In the ancient world, people understood that names carry power, that names carry the power of another man. The name stands for the man. This is a spiritual reality. The rabbis had a saying that a man's messenger, a man's emissary, is just like the man. And when you deal with the man's messenger or an emissary that a man sends to you, you are actually dealing with the man who sent him. And many of you know that in our society, we have a similar concept, which is giving someone a power of attorney. Has anyone ever dealt with a power of attorney? If I give you a power of attorney, you have authority to use my name. If your relative gives you power of attorney, please behave with it. But if your relative gives you power of attorney, banks and lawyers and other people will have to treat you as though you are that person. Now, when we think of it from that angle, we can jump back into Acts chapter 3 and we can begin to look again at Peter's explanation and maybe make more sense out of it. Peter says that what has happened here, why this man has been healed, is because God has glorified Jesus. What does Peter mean? Well, if you notice, Peter first speaks of Jesus' death. He says, you killed the Prince of Life, but God raised him up. Let me ask you a question. Who can give you the right to use his name, a living man or a dead man? I've never seen a dead man operating a business. Some of you might think that's the case if you've ever been stuck on the phone trying to get a hold of someone in customer service. There may be a few deceased people there, but I've never seen a dead man operating a business. Even in our laws today, a power of attorney is only good if the person who signed it and gave it to you is still alive. If any person dies, his power of attorney that he signed becomes invalid. When I practiced law 100 years ago, we sometimes did real estate closings with a power of attorney. You know, sometimes when a couple is buying a home, one spouse or the other can't be there because they're busy moving or they're flying into town or whatever it is. And so they would sign a power of attorney so that the other spouse could sign papers for them. But you know what? Before that closing could take place and we could transfer the house, we would have to make sure that the husband or wife who signed that power of attorney was still alive. Now notice, Peter says, you killed Jesus, but he's alive and God has glorified him and his name has healed this man. To the Jewish mind, this can only mean one thing. If Peter could heal somebody in the name of Jesus, then somehow Jesus was still alive. And it also meant that in some mysterious way, Jesus' name was still carrying the authority on this earth and had power to do the things that Jesus had been seen doing when Jesus was walking the earth. Peter was making the point to the crowd that being able to heal someone in the name of Jesus means Jesus is still alive and his name has authority in this world. If Jesus were dead, his authority, his name, his power of attorney, if you would all have expired. And if Jesus' name had expired, it couldn't do a thing. You may as well try to heal someone in the name of Honey Boo Boo or somebody. I don't know. But church, hear me this morning. The fact that you can do something in the name of Jesus means that God has glorified him. It means that he's alive and that his name has been given power by God. In Philippians chapter 2, it's a passage many of you know. He says, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. See, God has invested power into the name of Jesus. God glorified him. God raised him up and said to the Son when he raised him from the dead, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. I'm sure you can figure out, we can all figure out very easily that to be seated at God's right hand and to be able to look eye to eye with the Father is the highest place of authority. That's the highest throne, the highest seat there is. God has exalted Jesus. And we read in Hebrews chapter 1 how when God raised him from the dead, when Jesus ascended into heaven and was enthroned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God the Father spoke and he said, let all the angels of God worship him. How many of you know that's a pretty good commendation for your ministry, huh? God glorified Jesus. He spoke to Jesus in that day and he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. That's right. Did you know in the Bible that the Father looked at the Son and said, you are God? Can read about that in Hebrews chapter 1. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He retains all his authority. He retains all his power. He is still willing and capable of doing everything that you read about him doing in the four Gospels. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He said, Father, glorify me with the glory that I shared with you before the world even began. And God answered that prayer when Jesus was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, and he is now glorified at the right hand of the Father, seated with the Father and sharing the Father's glory and the Father's authority. That's why Peter said in Acts chapter 2, Pastor Glenn shared with you, He said, everyone needs to know because of these things, he said, that God has made this Jesus to be Lord and to be Messiah. The people who heard Peter that day and the crowd that heard him here this day in Acts chapter 3, they got the implications of Peter's message. So did the religious leaders, by the way. The leaders understood that if the people could use the name of Jesus to heal, then the people would believe that Jesus really had been raised from the dead. The people would believe that God really had elevated Jesus to sit at the right hand of power. When we read ahead into Acts chapter 4, we find out that the leaders ended up the next day arresting Peter and John. Why? Because they understood the issues very clearly. It tells us in Acts chapter 4 and verse 5 how they interrogated them. It says, it came to pass on the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set Peter and John in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? I want you to hear that question. By what power or by what name have you done this? Notice the question. Notice what's behind it. What is the source of your power? How have you done this? They had not yet recognized that these men were followers of Jesus. But they understood that names had power. Disciples in the Jewish world often did things in the names of their rabbis. And in verse chapter 10, Peter gives his bold reply. He says, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him does this man stand here before you whole. You can almost hear those men saying, uh-oh. Here we go again. It's Jesus round two. There it is again. Jesus was dead. Now he's alive and his name did this. This claim to the leaders is that this proves that God had raised up Jesus and placed authority into his name. The leaders told Peter and John, don't speak to anybody anymore in that name. But you know the story. You know that they refused that command. They realized, and the church has always realized down through the centuries, that the power of Jesus' name proves that God has raised Jesus to the highest place of authority in the universe. Over 200 years later, the church father Origen said this, even at the present time, the demons and other unseen powers show that they either fear the name of Jesus as that of a being of superior power, or else they reverentially accept him as their lawful ruler. For if commendation had not been given to Jesus by God, in other words, if God had not given Jesus this authority, the demons would not withdraw. That's proof. The church has always believed and the church has always seen the name of Jesus as proof. The demons can certainly recognize the power that's in Jesus' name. And the people at the temple learned the power of Jesus' name that day because they saw it being demonstrated. They learned that Jesus' name, as Peter said, through faith in Jesus' name, could make people well. Why? Because Jesus is still alive. Because God has glorified him and given him a name which is above every other name. Three truths about the power of the name of Jesus. The first one is that it's a name above every other name. The second truth is this. The name of Jesus is a name which God has given to every saint. The name of Jesus is a name that God has given to every believer. In verse 12 of our chapter, Peter says to the crowd, you men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why are you looking so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man walk? Peter is teaching us some very important things about the name of Jesus here and about our right to use it. First, Peter is teaching us that there are no qualifications of special giftedness. No qualifications of special giftedness. Yes, we know that Peter and John were gifted men, but certainly in this case, Peter denies that this healing was caused by something that was within them. What produced this miracle was not the power of Peter, but it was the authority of Jesus. And all throughout the book of Acts and down through church history, you know that plain old folks have done mighty deeds of power, but they've done it through the power of somebody else, through the power of Jesus. Writing about 100 years after these events, the church father Justin Martyr said this. Today's Church Father's Day, by the way. Justin Martyr said this: numberless demoniacs, get that, numberless demoniacs throughout the whole world and in your city have been cast out by many, he says, many of our Christian men. They have healed and they do heal, rendering helpless and driving the possessing devils out of men, even though they could not be cured by all the other exorcists and those who used incantations and drugs. Many Christian men, he said, did this. Second important thing Peter is teaching us is that there is no qualification of special status. No qualification of special status to utilize the name of Jesus. Peter said, it is not our holiness that has done this. You don't have to be an apostle, and you don't have to have been a Christian for 20 years before you can speak the name of Jesus. I hope you know that. Church, I want you to hear me. There may be Christian men who are holy, but there is no such thing as a Christian holy man. It's a species that we don't have in Christianity. Yes, the church has prophets, the church has evangelists and so on, but I want you to hear me this morning. Those men do not have any more right to know God than you do. You can be as close, we can all be as close to God as we desire to be. Thank you, sir. You can pray for people in the name of Jesus, whether you're an apostle or whether you just met Jesus at this altar last week. You may be a pastor of 5,000 or a mother of five. You may be a man of 90 or a girl of 9. God has given the name of Jesus to every believer. Amen. You don't even have to have red suspenders like Pastor Kevin. They may terrify senior pastors, but they don't scare demons. But I know what does, the name of Jesus. And God has given that name to every saint. I told you I was going to work those suspenders in there, didn't I? All right, but church, Jesus has put no conditions on who can use his name. His name belongs to everyone who believes. At the end of Mark's gospel, we read this: these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Jesus said those things would follow believers, not Bible school graduates. And we thank God for Bible school graduates, but Jesus wants you to know that those things done in his name, they follow disciples, not diplomas. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believes in me, the works that I'm doing shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do. What's the qualification to use the name of Jesus to heal the sick or cast out demons? The qualification is simply this, that you have come to Jesus for salvation and that you've been adopted into the family of God. Somebody give God some praise for that today. And once you do that, once you've been adopted into the family of God, guess what else happens? God gives you the family name, and God gives you the family likeness, and he puts you to work in the family business. God would love for every person in this room to have a testimony like the testimony that Peter gave to Cornelius about Jesus and Jesus' ministry. God would love to write down in his book, and I think he will, he'll say, you know how God anointed Mike Pajoli with the Holy Spirit and power, and Michael went around doing good and healing everybody who was oppressed by the devil. Why? Because God was with him, and because he had access and authority to use the name of Jesus. Three truths about the name of Jesus. It's a name which is above every name. It's a name that God has given to every believer. And then third, this, it's a name which has the power to rescue every man. The name of Jesus is a name which has the power to rescue every man. Friends, the name of Jesus is a name that belongs to the church, but it's a name which should never be kept inside of the church. The name of Jesus carries Jesus' own authority to bring the kingdom of God out into the world and to bring people into that kingdom. Jesus himself connects his name and his authority with the idea of us going out. He connects it with the idea of us bringing his name out into the nations. The name of Jesus, we could say, is for traveling. It's not just for home. In Matthew 28, before he ascended, Jesus says this. Matthew tells us, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says what is seemingly a strange thing. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go. What's the connection? If Jesus has authority, how does that help me to go? I think it's simple, really. The only real solution to the question is this. What Jesus is saying is that Jesus has given to you and to me, he's given to his people, the authority that he received from his Father. Remember what he said. In my name, meaning as my ambassador, as my emissary, as my delegates, as my sent ones, you will cast out demons. And in my name, he said, they will heal the sick. You remember what Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. He has authorized those who believe in him to exercise his authority in the world. I have all authority, he says, so therefore you can go. Why? Because I'm giving you the authority that I've received. And when you know that you possess that authority, you will have confidence to bring the name of Jesus out from under wraps and release the life and power of Jesus Christ to people who need to be touched by it. I think Peter had absorbed this lesson from the mouth of Jesus very well, did he not? And he was living it out, starting to live it out in full public view. Back in Acts chapter 3, where we were first reading, Peter showed us that he had gotten the point of Jesus' teaching very well. He said, silver and gold, I don't have any of it. I didn't watch those videos from Peter Schiff. I haven't been stocking up on gold. But what I have, I give you, he said. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Everybody say, what I have. See, Peter said, what I have. What did he have? He possessed the authority to act in the name of Jesus. Authority to use Jesus' name. Delegated ability to act for Jesus. authority to use Jesus' power of attorney. Peter went out and he brought the name of Jesus into the public square. God used Peter to heal a man, listen, who everybody knew by sight. You know, there were no photographs back in those days, right? You know, you didn't have the Jerusalem Post and say, oh, the emperor has a new haircut, you know. You had no idea what the emperor looked like. Think about it. We know what all our celebrities and politicians look like. They did not. But you know who God healed that day? God is so good at public relations. God used Peter to heal the one man in Jerusalem that every Jewish man knew by sight. He was the one guy that they all had to walk by every day to make the daily prayer at 3 p.m., the hour of prayer, the hour of the evening sacrifice. He was the only man that was recognized by face. Hey, do you know who God healed? Who? The guy that sits at the gate and begs every afternoon. Really? God is very good at public relations. He healed the only man in town that everybody knew. But listen, church, if Peter did not seize that opportunity, or if Peter did not know what he had, that opportunity, that divine setup would have been for nothing. That name belonged to Peter and John, and it belongs to everyone who believes. It's the family name, and we need to start using it in the family business. Go ahead and read further in Acts, and you get a little more insight in this. Read all the way into Acts chapter 19, and you'll find the story of some exorcists. These were exorcists who did not belong to Jesus, but they tried to use his name anyway. You know, driving down the road, you're going past the sign, they've hung a shingle out on their front lawn. You know, exorcists are us. Special this week, $10 exorcism, you know. And they had heard, apparently, that there was something about the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that it had power. Maybe they tried to use it as a magical incantation. Oh, and one day, they spoke to some demons who were inside a man, and they said, we command you by this Jesus whom Paul is preaching. The demon said, well, guys, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And after the demons beat those guys up and tore their clothes off, my Italian friends would say the demons gave him a tune-up. You know, if you laugh, you know. But when that happened, the Bible says, guess what? The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. See, those exorcists were not part of the family business. They didn't have the right to use the family name or work in the family business. Church, it's time for us to go to work in the family business. It's time to awaken to the power of Jesus' name. It's time to read the book of God and see how many times and see how many different ways and places that they use the name of Jesus to cast out demons, heal the sick, and raise the dead. It will build up your faith in the wonderful name of Jesus. It's time to awaken to the fact that we're like Peter, and what we have, we can give to somebody. You can give people the blessing that comes from that wonderful name. It's time to awaken to the fact that his name, through faith in his name, can make people perfectly well. You love Jesus. You belong to him. You have faith in him and his salvation. You have faith. You believe in what he's done for you. Do you have any faith in his name? It's time to remember that Jesus has been glorified, that all authority has been given to him in heaven and in earth. It's time to remember that when we believe in him, the works that he has done, we can do also. And Jesus said we can do greater works even than those. Church, it's time to remember that we've been given the only name that can rescue a lost and dying world. The only name that is adequate and sufficient for the task. Peter told those leaders that day when they were on trial there in Acts chapter 4. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, by the way. Boy, he was just determined to get a beating himself, wasn't he? By the way, there's no other name that has salvation, he said, because there's no other name that's among men, that God has put among men now, that's coming down from heaven by which we must be saved. Church, it's time to break out of the walls like Jesus did and take his name outside of the church and watch his power bust loose. Will you do it? If you want some homework this week, I'm going to ask you, will you dare to pray for someone this week in the name of Jesus of Nazareth? Will you dare to tell someone that his name can save them? Will you dare to pray for a sick person this week in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Let's go out this week and start doing good and healing everyone who is oppressed by the devil. Why? Because Jesus is with us through his name. Three lessons. Amen. Three lessons and three powerful truths from Acts chapter 3. The name of Jesus is above every other name. The name of Jesus is a name that's been given to every believer. And the name of Jesus is the only name that has the power to rescue every man. Church, let's awaken to the power of the name of Jesus. Come on, stand together and let's give some praise to his name this morning. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We were singing before in our worship time about the power and the greatness of the name of Jesus. Elizabeth, help us sing that. Come on, lift up your hands. Just begin to worship. Worship his name. Worship his excellent name. The name of Jesus is exalted. The Bible says God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When God the Father raised him from the dead, when Jesus passed through the heavenly places, higher than the heavens, he entered the hall, he entered the throne room of God Almighty, and God looked at him in front of that great assembly, and he said, let all the angels of God worship him, because he's worthy of worship. He's worthy of adoration and praise. He spoke to the Son, he looked Jesus in the face, and he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We honor your name today, Lord.